Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, as we near the end of the year, we take stock of a fairly active and frisky capital market in Southeast Asia for 2021. And three major markets in Indonesia, Malaysia, and Singapore actually saw increased activity in capital markets and also for fundraising across these three particular countries. However, the trend's a bit different when you take a closer look at what really drove capital markets activity in these three particular countries. Well, this at least according to the Transaction Trail report from Duff & Phelps when it came out. And today, to share more details with regards to the report, we're joined by Mr. Vidya Gopal, who's the Managing Director at Duff & Phelps, to talk about the major trends noted in these three particular countries in Southeast Asia. Mr. Gopal, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these times. And welcome to the show, ma'am. Hope you're having a great afternoon.
Thanks so much, JP. Thanks for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here at Money FM.
Indeed, a pleasure to have you with us on the show this afternoon, Ms. Gopal. But I would like to start off with this very interesting report that showed that capital activity and fundraising, at least in these three particular countries, was actually rather strong. It's actually consistent with some of the other reports we've seen from some of your peers also. But I do want to focus on the Transaction Trail report you guys released. Give us a broad idea of how strongly capital markets activity rebounded across Southeast Asia, particularly in the three countries you focused on.
Sure. You're absolutely right in saying that there has been a rebound in transaction activities in Southeast Asia, especially the three countries. Let me give you a broad summary on this and happy to dive into specifics as that may be of interest to you. Mm-hmm. 2021 has overall been a stellar year for these three countries for deal making. We have seen transaction values between mergers and acquisition, which is M&A, PVC investments and IPOs more than triple compared to the last year. It's been at a whopping US dollar value of $280 billion compared to $84 billion in 2020. And we had 31 M&A deals, each of which were valued over $1 billion US dollar compared to 15 last year and possibly a similar number in the previous years as well. We have never seen 30 plus so far. We've been tracking this for the last 10 years. And while all three countries have seen a 200% plus growth, Singapore, as usual, stands out, contributing to a $217 billion US dollar value of the total $270 billion and $280 billion. And close to $200 billion has just been in the M&A activity. Typically, this is driven by outbound transactions, including the sovereign wealth fund acquisitions. This year, it is not just a sovereign wealth fund, but it also includes these de-SPAC M&A, or what they call the initial business combination of large businesses in Southeast Asia merging with the SPAC in the U.S. Both Malaysia and Indonesia saw a surge as well, owing to just a handful of large merger transactions. In addition, Indonesia has witnessed some of its largest IPOs this year. The PEVC investments have been at a four-year high, primarily driven by technology deals and some large pre-IPO investments into companies that are going for IPOs either in the local markets or in the U.S. markets. IPO, as I mentioned, have significantly picked up in Indonesia and have shown a slight growth in the other two countries. So this is broadly where we are.
All right. You know, I'd like to say that the numbers, when I take a look at the report, reflect a recovery from 2020 when the pandemic really battered sentiment. But in the case of M&A and VC, or venture capital fundraising in Singapore, there was a notable uptick for market activity as compared to the last 5 years. In fact, when you look at the graph from 2016 to 2021, it almost looked like a clear check mark. What do you think really spurred sentiment in the last year as compared to the last half decade? And is this more of a sign of markets perhaps waking up than actually recovering from 2020?
Yes, your observation is really correct. We have been tracking these trends for the past 10 years through the Kroll Duff & Phelps Transaction Trail report. The only time we have seen Singapore M&A and PEVC together cross the $100 billion US dollar mark was in 2015, and it just raised above it at $103 billion between the two. We are looking at more than double that of this year, where Singapore has overtaken its own historic record by a large margin. One of the reasons for this is not just the poor sentiments in 2020, but the inability to logistically complete transactions because of the COVID restrictions We know how the deal makers in Singapore travel quite a bit across the border, across Asia, and even across the world to close transactions on a regular basis. That completely stopped. And there was this pent-up demand, plus deal makers have now got used to the new normal of doing transactions remotely. And that combined with a huge availability of funds for M&A as well as for investments have spurted this value. Another big driver has been the deep and immediate requirement for exits. There have been several investments in Southeast Asian businesses, including in the unicorn for the last 4 to 5 years, that strongly pushed the need for exits. And there have been very few exits by these large funds which have invested in our unicorns in the last few years. So that has happened this year and going to happen in the near future a lot more through IPOs as well as the de-SPAC transaction this year and next year, possibly going forward as well.
All right. So now I want to take a look at the trends for IPO transactions and compare and contrast. And because if there was one area where we saw a decline in Singapore, it was in IPO transactions. Now, in contrast, we saw Indonesia's IPO pipeline really take off. Can you help us compare and contrast the two countries and their IPO trends as to what led to these two trends happening in Singapore and Indonesia to diverge?
Sure. Singapore actually saw a small increase in the IPO capital raise in 2021 compared to 2020, but it is lower than the previous years, as you have rightly mentioned. But the value has so far been driven by the REITs and real estate, and that is what has been driving the IPOs in Singapore for the last many years. This could significantly change with the new SPAC regime introduced by SGX. I would imagine 2022 would be a very different year for Singapore IPOs. We need to wait and see. With regard to Indonesia, though, it has always been driving volumes given the size of the country, but not the values on a relative basis because each of those IPOs have been fairly small in US dollar terms. This year, there has been a significant push and a clear message by the Indonesian government who want to leverage the considerable growth that they are seeing in internet penetration and technology in the country. Today, they are the largest market in Southeast Asia for any technology usage in gross merchandise value and any other parameters that we might be able to look at. So in addition to supporting IPOs for local unicorns, where we can expect to see more, as you know, there are a few more in the pipeline which is going to go for IPO very soon in the Indonesian market. And listing some of the government-owned support infrastructure businesses this year, the government has done other things like setting up a sovereign wealth fund, which was just set up this year, the Indonesian Investment Authority, to invest in both infrastructure and high-growth businesses. They're also planning to launch an investment vehicle focused on homegrown mature startups. It'll be interesting to see more action forward going forward in this market.
We're still meeting to Sarvidya Gopal, who's the Managing Director for Duff & Phelps here on Money FM 89.3 to talk about their recent transaction trail report that focuses on capital markets activity in Singapore, Indonesia, and Malaysia. Sarvidya, I'd like to take a look at the things in a sectoral sense now. Now, there's no surprise that tech leads the way again in terms of capital markets and fundraising, but how different are the tech landscapes and fundraising trends now in these three countries?
Tech leading the way is primarily witnessed in the PE/VC investment space in the past few years. Singapore was among the first to see this trend from a buyout-focused PE/VC investment space, looking at mature businesses, sectors such as industrial or consumer. Several years back, there was a clear shift, maybe around 7 to 8 years back, into minority tech investments as well as corporate venture funds. The share of tech sector in PEVC investment in Singapore rose from 8% in 2013 to 68% this year. That's like a mega shift. And the same for Indonesia. Indonesia started maybe 2-3 years after Singapore. It had about close to 3% investment into the tech space in 2015 and jumping to 57% this year. So it's even more dramatic there. The PE investment, VC investment in Malaysia is still very small compared to the other two countries and is slowly picking up. But we expect to see more of this going forward. This year, we have a new unicorn from Malaysia and there are some potential unicorns coming up there. So there has to be a fund set up to support this growth as well. Overall, if we look at Southeast Asia as a whole, we have 21 new unicorns this year, which surpass the total number of unicorns from the past whole decade. Clearly, there's going to be more rounds of fundraising for them before they look at IPOs, SPACs, or M&As or other options. So we're only going to see the space grow further.
All right. And just very quickly, Srividya, I do want to talk about the road ahead for capital markets in these three countries and Southeast Asia. How might capital markets activity look like in 2022, especially since we have continued uncertainties about the possibility of rising rates, especially from the U.S. Federal Reserve, and tighter monetary policy from central banks across the world?
Sure. I mean, there are positives and there are negatives. I think the positives for 2022 are we are still looking at a strong pipeline of deals, especially through U.S. and Singapore SPAC listings, initial business combinations, other significant IPOs being planned, and expectations that the new unicorns will need considerable amount of PEVC investments in the short term. The negative, as you rightly said, are the uncertainties, global political environment, continued instability created by the pandemic in spite of vaccinations picking up, and rising inflation. Based on the trends we've seen that crore transaction trail has captured for the past 10 years, we really believe that our market has come of age. That's something we can say. And the transactions will continue to take place though the focus, the sector, the countries, and the drivers could be different. We have seen $84 billion transaction value in 2020, which is also not small, clearly because our region has come of age. So we may not witness a mega deals every year and these kind of stellar historic records, but overall, we do expect to see very robust capital market activity 2022 as well.
Srividya Gopal, Managing Director for Duff & Phelps, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to talk about Duff & Phelps' recent transaction trail report that documents capital markets trends over the last year in Singapore, Indonesia, and Malaysia. Appreciate the time and hope you have a great afternoon ahead, ma'am.
Thank you so much. You too. Bye.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.